presentation loads. I am a professor at Southern Connecticut State University, and you said that that language and literacy encompasses many things, and it starts with language services and people with limited English proficiency about speaking the language, and that's where we're going to start today with my presentation. And I feel honored to be the first speaker among this interesting presentations. I'm a professor at Southern Connecticut State University, and we did this project as part of the Language Access Committee of the Connecticut Multicultural Health Partnership, and here are my fellow authors on this project. The partnership was established in Connecticut as part of a program to introduce federal class standards, that's culture language access standards, for Connecticut. I have nothing to disclose. Language diversity data. My presentation will begin with an overview of language diversity. This information is based upon the census and more recent data from the American Community Survey. The maps in the presentation are from the State of Connecticut website and also from the Central Intelligence Agency. In the United States, there are over 37 million people who were born in another country. Many of these 37 million people will not benefit from public health and medical care if language services are not available. In both the U.S. and Connecticut, people who were born in another state, in another country, make up 13% of the population. Both the census and the American Community Survey collect information on language spoken with these questions. They only apply to people aged 5 and over. In Connecticut, many of you may think, yes, Connecticut is the wealthiest state, but I'm not a member of that wealthy class, and most of the people in the state aren't either. In Connecticut, we see that people from other countries are concentrated in the urban areas, along the coastline, Stamford, Bridgeport, and New Haven, and then in the center of the state in the capital area of Hartford. Consistent with what's happening nationwide, speakers of other languages are increasing in Connecticut. Spanish is the most common language that we find by far. This slide shows the top 6 languages, but there are many, many others. I couldn't possibly list them all. In Bridgeport alone, there are 72 languages spoken by students in the schools. The number of people who have limited English proficiency, defined as speaking English less than very well from the census questions, has been increasing. They now make up about 8% of the population. The increasing number of people with limited English proficiency makes both medical and public health organizations in need of making language services a part of their programs in order to successfully reach everyone. A great deal of attention and study has gone into medical care and language services, but not much into traditional public health. But public health has the frontline responsibility for all of its residents. Care for the most vulnerable and eliminating health disparities are long-time functions of the field and profession of public health. But our literature review did not find any research focusing on comprehensive examination of language services in public health. What we did find was focused on specific programs, for example, emergency preparedness or immunizations. I called the National Association of County and City Health Officials just last week. They have not included language services in their 2010 survey of health departments, but they do agree that these are important questions that we need to explore. We sent out questionnaires to health departments to get their views on the need for services, the programs in place, and the challenge in providing these services. All the information I'm going to present to you, except the community demographics, are from their responses. Our study was approved by the Southern Connecticut State University Institutional Board. We got help in distributing the surveys from the Connecticut Association of Directors of Health and the local health administration branch of the State Department of Public Health. We also improved our response rate with personal contact. Many of the graduates of the Southern Public Health Program work in local health departments, and I was not shy about calling them up and asking for their help, and they did cooperate nicely. Of the eight, yes, we have 82 health departments in our state. While touring the beautiful and vast state of Colorado, someone told me that the counties here are bigger than the entire state of Connecticut. But in Connecticut, we keep our old Yankee ways of town governance, and there is no county government. There are 20 health districts. They serve groups of towns. 62 serve individual towns. About half are part-time, serving small communities. Our largest cities are also served by individual health departments. Overall, 33 of the 82 health departments responded, but their service area represents about two-thirds of Connecticut residents. The main theme of our results, variation. Variation in the communities that are served and variation in the services that are provided. Our analysis began with matching health departments with their census data to describe language characteristics of their communities. Here's where the variation begins. Briefly, in some communities, almost everyone speaks only English, while in others, it's as low as 57%. And for people with limited English proficiency, the percentage ranges from 2% to 21%. What this tells us is that the need for language services is not the same for all communities. First, we asked health departments how often they encounter people with limited English proficiency. About one-third have these encounters every single day. While at the other end, nearly one-third have these encounters less than once a month. We presented a very long list of languages to our respondents, asking about who they see. The top seven are presented here. Consistent with the language characteristics of the population, Spanish is by far the most common, then followed by Chinese. Language services can be broadly categorized into two forms: translation, that's writing for another language, and interpretation, speaking in another language. We asked about different types of language services provided by health departments, and they are ordered by their frequency here. Translation is the most frequently provided type of language service. When interpretation is provided, it's most likely done by bilingual staff. We can see that health departments are planning on expanding their services. We added up the different types of services and found less than one quarter do not offer any service, while two-thirds offer from 3 to 6 different services. Ask a health department staff member this question and you'll get the answer, public health does everything. But we couldn't put that on our survey. So to put some limits on our questions, we used the NACHO survey of health departments and selected the 12 most common public health services, asking, do you provide this service? And if you do, do you provide language services in that area? The responses are ordered in frequency, and I have another slide to follow with the less common services. The most commonly offered services by health departments are food, environmental health, and emergency preparedness. For all of these, except for environmental health, just under 50% offer Spanish language services. Only for food service inspection is another language service offered more frequently than Spanish. I should add that emergency preparedness is a relatively well-funded program by the state health department using federal funds. Giving the health departments extra resources to provide and share their language services for this area. These public health services are offered less frequently, and we can see that the most common language service is Spanish for childhood immunization programs. When you ask the experts what matters most for language services, here's what they say. Does anyone know why food services come out on top? Any guesses? Sir. He's a plant, by the way.
Restaurants,
yes. In Connecticut, and probably in your states too, we have a wide variety of ethnic restaurants. And inspection and education of employees is very important for food safety. When we ask about the barriers, it's no surprise the cost of providing services is ranked number one. Related to that is a lack of time to develop materials. Another theme is the challenge of providing services for people who speak so many different languages. Correction on this slide. Just over one-third of our local health departments serve clients with LEP at least once a day. Spanish is by far the most common language, followed by Chinese. About 85%, a substantial proportion of local health departments have at least one language service. Language services for food service, emergency planning, and immunization are ranked as the most important. Lack of funding is the number one barrier to providing these services. So in conclusion, local health departments provide a range of services for people with LEP. Systematic changes could enhance these services, such as, number one, better funding, and collaboration on activities. As I said, we have 82 health departments. If there could be systematic support, such as shared translation materials and a clearinghouse that provides these materials, we think that there would be improvements in the system. Finally, the federal government has deemed that language services are important. Yet for public health and medical care, there's very, very limited funding. Since public health programs benefit everyone, whether if we speak English, but we go to a restaurant where there are non-English speakers working, whether our children go to school with other children who need vaccinations, we all benefit from the service to individual clients. So therefore, we think that strategies to pay for these vital services must be developed. And thank you very much. I can even see that. I hope I did okay. Did I do okay? Okay, great, thanks.
So we've got 2 to 3 minutes to ask Peggy questions. We'll have plenty of time at the end of the session to ask more questions, but we've got 2 to 3 minutes. Any questions for Peggy?
Yes.
I was wondering if the emergency preparedness and cyber initiative is well funded, and since these are small health departments that don't have that many people, were the health departments able to use that funding to, in essence, beef up their capacity for language?
Well, every health department had at least a contracted individual, even the very small ones. And I think that there was an awareness of the need for language services and some collaboration and support from the state. I don't actually know if they developed the materials themselves, but I know that language services are a priority for emergency preparedness because you have to reach everybody in a hurry. Yes. No, we didn't do anything on accreditation. I presented pretty much everything here, and I do not believe that language services are part of the forthcoming accreditation process. I think one of the reasons that hospitals look so intensively at language services is they must do it for accreditation, and they've recently, the Joint Commission has recently come up with very specific language service requirements for hospitals. But I am not aware of anything for public health. I'm not aware of it, and I did make some phone calls and couldn't find anything. Does that mean it doesn't exist? I won't make that claim.
No questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.